Okay, for those of you listening on the radio, thank you for being here. We're in Mind, Character, Personality, Volume 2, page 731, Chapter 43, if you actually have the book. And this is about, this particular one's about safe mind therapy. And let me get this lettering scrolled up a little bit so I can read it. Okay. We're on Chapter 43, right? Yeah, I think, yeah. All right, first one. Consult to a physician. The poor afflicted souls with whom you are brought in contact have needed more of your attention than they have received. You have it in your power to encourage them to look to Jesus and by beholding, be changed to his image. Okay, next one here is security and constant struggle against evil imaginings. Let everyone who desires to be a partaker of the divine nature appreciate the fact that he must escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. There must be a constant, earnest, that's amazing. Just that one statement, the corruption that is in the world through lust, because you can lust after everything. And that's how the Lord can tell if we're found wanting. And when he says wanting, of course, that's wanting things that he has not supplied us, stepping outside of his perfect will for us, what we are supposed to receive. A lot of people want more than their lot is to receive. And this is one of the reasons a lot of people have a problem with debt, too. And it's not just materialistic wantings. It could be, you got the flesh, of course, involved in there. And it could be anything from food to sex. So, but anyway, continuing. There must be a constant, earnest struggling of the soul against the evil imaginings of the mind. And there could be 732, because the way the page number just fits it, there could be a lot of evil imaginings in a person's mind. But it's funny how the page number just got right in there like that. So continuing, she says that there must be a steadfast resistance of temptation to sin in thought or act. The soul must be kept from every stain through faith in him who is able to keep you from falling. We should meditate upon the scriptures, thinking soberly and candidly upon the things that pertain to our eternal salvation. The infinite mercy and love of Jesus, the sacrifice made in our behalf, call for a most serious and solemn reflection. We should dwell upon the character of our dear Redeemer and Intercessor. We should seek to comprehend the meaning of the plan of salvation. We should meditate upon the mission of him who came to save his people from their sins. By constantly contemplating heavenly themes, our faith and love will grow stronger. And that is especially with, speaking to Christians, I'm, of course, preaching to the choir in that respect. But we can see how this actually happens in our lives. It's the thing with the babe in Christ. They don't catch it right off. But a lot of young Christians have told me, and I've even said this to myself, why did I wait so long to accept Jesus Christ? Because we all kick and scream all the way to Jesus a lot of times. But one thing I did notice, and this has helped me in my Christian walk, when I first found Jesus, I still had a problem wanting to watch certain things on television. And it would tempt me away from, it just tempts you away from all sorts of different, heavenly themes, if you will. But if you just ignore those things and contemplate the heavenly things, everything gets that much more peaceful. And it gets so much more easier to live. You don't have the constant fear of have I sinned, and constant repenting and constant confessing, and because we all go through it as a young Christian. But if we contemplate on heavenly things, eventually those things of the world are just going to fade off and they're going to go away. That's one thing I noticed though too, especially with the billboards and stuff. One of the reasons for adultery in a lot of marriages now, especially when the men, they call it the midlife crisis. They get up to their 40s or 50s or whatever, and they see these younger women. And the only reason they're attracted and pulled away by these younger women is because everywhere you turn these billboards, and 99% of the time, the girl that's on the billboard, that's not her real face anyway. She's been so airbrushed and so made over that it's not, and so it's a fake beauty. And then he comes home and he looks at his wife, she's aged a few years. She's not as young as she was when they first got married. And so he's pulled away by all those other pretty little girls running around. And But when you keep your eyes away from that stuff, you never see your wife aging. You still see the beauty. You know, it doesn't matter, because the beauty is not, it's only skin deep, as they say, you know. There's so much beauty inside. You know, because the most beautiful woman can become very ugly when you find out that she's, you know, not a good girl. Because I remember years ago seeing a poster on a wall of a friend's office, and he had a pretty girl on the poster. This is before I was really walking as strong as I should with the Lord. This is very green in my walk. And I says, man, that's a pretty girl. And then when he told me what she did, and one of the reasons she's on the poster, she was a porn queen. And then she became extremely ugly. This is because it just, you know, once you realize what's there in the person, it's strange. Anyway, continuing. Our prayers will be more and more acceptable to God because they will be more and more mixed with faith and love. They will be more intelligent and fervent. There will be more constant confidence in Jesus, and you will have a daily living experience in the willingness and power of Christ to save unto the utmost all that came unto God by him.
Continuing on, the next title is Souls Invigorated by Contact with the Infinite. We should contemplate God in nature and study his character in the work of his hands. The mind is strengthened by becoming acquainted with God by reading his attributes and the things which he has made. As we behold the beauty and grandeur in the works of nature, our affections go out after God, and through our souls, and though our souls are awed and our spirits subdued, our souls are invigorated by coming into contact with the infinite through his marvelous works. Communion with God through humble prayer develops and strengthens the mental and moral faculties. We've lost the radio, Nick. And the spiritual powers increase by cultivating thoughts upon spiritual things. Next one is guard the avenues to the soul. The apostle sought to teach believers how important it is to keep the mind from wandering to forbidden themes or from spending its energies on trifling subjects. Those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts. And in this day and age, that is difficult. The seeing and the hearing, especially reading, is a little easier to control because you know what you're picking up usually. But, you know, just like Nick's talking about that billboard or, you know, what you hear in conversation, people talking, the radio, TV, you know, I you can turn most of that off, but just listen to people talk. I mean, I'm on the, usually have the CB on, keeping track of where the police are and, you know, looking for accidents and things like that on the road. And, you know, sometimes I actually have to turn it off just because the conversation, the language that the drivers out there are using just, you know, it's too much. And after a while, it starts to wear on me and I just have to turn it off. Descriptive adjectives. There you go, Lynn. And that's why it's so hard. So you really have to, focus on the Lord when you get into those situations because sometimes you can't turn it off. Again, if you're dealing with people talking, we lost the radio and the words they use, the cussing, like I said, a lot of times you can't turn it off, so you have to, like, be able to take your mind somewhere else to get off of it or get away from it. Welcome back, those of you on the radio. Temporary malfunction there. Okay, let's see. I'll read one more here. Guard the avenues to the soul. The apostle sought to teach believers how important it is to keep the mind from wandering to forbidden things or from spending its energies on trifling subjects. Those who would not fall prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts. The mind must not be left to dwell at a random on every subject that the enemy of souls may suggest. The heart must be faithfully sentineled, or the evils without will awaken evils within, and the soul will wander in darkness. And the last one I'll read for this round is the effect of personal atmosphere. The influence of every man's thoughts and actions surround him like an invisible atmosphere, which is unconsciously breathed in by all who come in contact with him. This atmosphere is frequently charged with poisonous influences, and that's what we were just talking about. And when these are inhaled, moral degeneracy is the sure result.
Amen. And it's so true, because sometimes, you know, beyond your control, like I was saying in the text, you know, you can be at work, for example, in descriptive adjectives or curse words, you know, or music that you have no control over. Really, it's like, Lord, please put ear things, plugs in my ears, or better yet, make the radio not work so it won't have to be on. When you're talking about, like, rock music or rap music or what's this thing called, hip-hop music, you know, and some of this stuff, if you even not trying to listen to, it's like, it's demonic when you hear it, you know, and it's like, Lord, please just keep my mind. But anywho, continuing on with the next section, surrounded by an atmosphere of light and peace, amen, Christ has made every provision that his church shall be transformed, shall be a transformed body, illumined by the light of the world, possessing the glory of Emmanuel, amen. It is his purpose that every Christian shall be surrounded with a spiritual atmosphere of light and peace. He desires that we shall reveal his own joy in our lives. The indwelling of the Spirit will be shown by the outflowing of heavenly love. You're so right, Brother Chris. You hear things and it's like, can you believe that they just said, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's unbelievable. But continuing on, it says, the divine fullness will flow through the consecrated human agent to be given forth to others. The next section is depend constantly on God. Many are unable to make definite plans for the future. Their life is unsettled. They cannot discern the outcome of affairs, and this often fills them with anxiety and unrest. Let us remember that the life of God's children in this world is a pilgrim life. We have not wisdom to plan our own lives. It is not for us to shape our future. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Hebrews 11:8. Christ, in his life on earth, made no plans for himself. He accepted God's plans for him. And day by day, the Father unfolded his plans. So should we depend upon God that our lives may be the simple outworking of his will. As we commit our ways to him, he will direct our steps. And so true, Sister Lee, every day we should just say, Lord, please forgive them. They do not know what they do. How about 70 times 7, Sister Lee, you know? But the last section I'll read here is value of occupational therapy. I was shown that it would prove more beneficial to most patients to allow light work and even to urge it upon them than to urge them to remain inactive and idle. If the power of the will be kept active to arouse the dormant faculties, it will be the greatest help to recover health. Remove all labor from those who have been overtaxed all their lives, and in 9 cases out of 10, the change will be an injury. Let me read that again. I didn't get that. I was shown that it would prove more beneficial to most patients to allow light work and even to urge it upon them than to urge them to remain inactive and idle. Okay? If the power of the will be kept active to arouse the dormant faculties, it will be the greatest help to recover health. Got that? Remove all labor from those who have been overtaxed all their lives, and in 9 cases out of 10, the change will be an injury. Okay, I understand that now. In other words, someone who's been very active all their lives, all of a sudden they don't have anything to do, it can be very injurious to them. I understand that now. Okay. Continuing on, this has proved true in the case of my husband. I was shown that physical outdoor exercise is far preferable to indoor. But if this cannot be secured, light indoor employment would occupy and divert the mind and prevent it from dwelling upon symptoms and little ailments, and would also prevent homesickness.
Next one is well-directed physical exercise. When invalids have nothing to occupy their time and attention, their thoughts become centered upon themselves, and they grow morbid and irritable. Many times they dwell upon their bad feelings until they think themselves much worse than they really are and wholly unable to do anything. In all these cases, well-directed physical exercise would prove an effective remedial agent. In some cases, it is indispensable to the recovery of health. The will goes with the labor of the hands, and what these invalids need is to have the will aroused. When the will is dormant, the imagination becomes abnormal and it is impossible to resist disease. And I can imagine how the imagination would become abnormal, it's even morbid, because they're going to start thinking, oh, I'm dying, I'm going to die a really painful death. You know, you always think the worst, you know. Okay, next one is comforting others, comfort giver. Often prayer is solicited for the afflicted, the sorrowful, the discouraged, and this is right. We should pray that God will shed light into the darkened mind and comfort the sorrowful heart. But God answers prayer for those who place themselves in the channel of his blessings. While we offer prayer for these sorrowful ones, we should encourage them to try to help those more needy than themselves. This is Ministry of Healing. I was just going to say, I read this on Sabbath. It reminds me of what I was reading on, because we're in Ministry of Healing right now in our Sabbath study. But she goes on to say that the darkness will be dispelled from their own hearts as they try to help others. As we seek to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we are comforted, the blessings come back to us. And I'll read one more. Rest and restoration, and the parentheses says the author counsels her own son. And she says, I have a word to say to you. Will you not sign a pledge that you will no longer weaken or deface the Lord's temple by working when you ought to rest? In order to have proper thoughts and in order to speak proper words, you must give your brain rest. You do not take sufficient time to rest. The weary brain and tired nerves would be invigorated if you would make a change in this respect. We must study to discipline ourselves carefully, refusing to do that which would weaken the physical, mental, and moral strength. You need a clear, patient mind which will endure all that may arise. You need a strong hold from above, exercise faith, and leave the results with God. When you have done your best, be of good courage. Believe, and hold fast. The enemy will try to get you to make some move, which means defeat, but you cannot afford to do this. You cannot afford to make uncertain movements. You need the influence that you will gain by revealing wisdom and discretion.
Wow, that hits home. Driving truck and working the way I do, sleep is a great luxury. You know, I get maybe 6 hours most nights, and that's why I wasn't here Monday. I just, you know, I got to get at least 4 or 5, or I'm going to kill myself or somebody else. Put that truck in a tree. Yeah, I just don't, you know, I'm figuring on, let's see, tonight, I probably, if I'm lucky, I'll get 6 tonight, so that's good. Here we go, relaxation and rest is essential. I was shown that Sabbath keepers as a people labor too hard without allowing themselves change or periods of rest. Recreation is needful to those who are engaged in physical labor, and is still more essential for those whose labor is primarily mental. It is not essential to our salvation or for the glory of God to keep the mind laboring constantly and excessively, even upon religious themes. There are amusements such as dancing, card playing, chess, checkers, etc., which we cannot approve because heaven condemns them. You have to educate me on the chess or the checkers. Dancing and card games I think I can understand, but I don't understand the chess or checkers. Anyway, we'll get to there someday. The amusements open the door for great evil. They are not beneficial in their tendency, but have an exciting influence, producing in some minds a passion for those plays which lead to gambling and dissipation. All such plays should be condemned by Christians, and something preferably harmless, perfectly harmless, should be substituted in their place. Next one is, depending upon God, we refuse to be discouraged. In parentheses, it says, a counsel to an overworked executive. And I got to scroll that one up a little bit. That one disappears off my page. Okay, competition can lead to gambling, Nick said. That's interesting. But I'll take your word for it. I've never actually done that to me, and I've been very competitive most of my life as a football player and a boxer and a wrestler and track and all that stuff. It never really led me to gambling. I always figured I worked too hard for my money. Anyway, yeah, I'll play pool, Nick, but I'm not going to play you for money, buddy. You know, I work too hard for my money to give it to you over a pool game. That's just the way I've always been as far as gambling's concerned. I just can't do it. Can't do it, man. Anyway, here we go. The Lord has graciously spared your life to work in his lines. He does not want you to work yourself, independent of the only power which can work successfully to accomplish his designs. Then do not fret, but trust, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Do not be in too much of a hurry. That which you can do without great taxation to your physical and mental powers, do. But do not feel that you must take so many cares and burdens that you cannot keep your own soul in the love of God. Yeah, the lottery is gambling, Bonnie. Anytime you put your money up for a chance of winning, that's gambling. You know, it's not a sure thing. Put your money in the bank and let it earn interest, and you'll do better anyway. Bingo is gambling also, yep, sure enough. To continue, the vineyard is the Lord's. The work in every part is his, and he would have you so labor that your physical, mental, and moral powers shall be preserved. Bear in mind that you are cooperating with heavenly agencies, which I'm thankful for, man, because it's mind-boggling if you had to do this by yourself. Thank you, Lord. Do not allow the enemy to have the least partnership in the firm. Receive your orders from God and in no wise be discouraged, because you can only do the work of a finite agent. The infinite will work with his power to give you efficiency. Do not think you are left to do impossible things. Do not expect impossible things of others. Paul may plant and Apollos may water, but God giveth the increase. See, that's from Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. That's from Psalms 102, verses 25 and 26. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. That's from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And let's see. Guess we still got a ways. I'll read one more. Individual efforts necessary. The victims of evil habit must be aroused to the necessity of making an effort for themselves. Others may put forth the most earnest endeavors to uplift them. The grace of God may be freely offered. Christ may entreat. His angels may minister, but all will be in vain unless they themselves are aroused to fight the battle in their own behalf. Feeling the terrible power of temptation, the drawing of desire that leads to indulgence, many a man cries in despair, I cannot resist evil. Tell him that he can and that he must resist. He may have been overcome again and again, but it need not be always thus. He is weak in moral power and controlled by the habits of a life of sin. His promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. The knowledge of his broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens his confidence in his own sincerity and causes him to feel that God cannot accept him or work with his efforts, but he need not despair.
Oh, I'm sorry, I kept hitting the alt bell and nothing was happening. I was like, oh no, computer, don't kick me out right now. But before I continue, you know, this lesson is like hitting home. I don't know if for others, but I know for me. That's why I kept putting in the room, hello. Because it's like, you know, you have things to do, and then all of a sudden you find you're up at 2, 3 in the morning, and then have to get up at like 7, or no, what 7? 4 or 5, because you want to have your personal devotion, but then something goes lacking somewhere down the road, you know, and it's like I know I've missed on Friday evening sometimes because I'm just so tired, you know, lately, and, you know, to get more rest, because it's like, Sabbath, praise the Lord for the rest, but, you know, it's like, hello, wake up, Lynn, you know, and I would say to each of us that, you know, that, I don't know, we examine and do whatever we have to do to, speaking really for myself right now, to make sure that, I know for myself that my quality time with the Lord is there, you know, which is so important. And anyway, I guess I'm babbling and not making sense, but the next section is aim is important. Success in any line demands a definite aim. He who would achieve true success in life must keep steadily in view the aim worthy of his endeavor. Amen. Welcome back, Cicely. Such an aim is set before the youth of today. And the next section. The knowledge of God is obtained from His Word. The experimental knowledge of true godliness and daily consecration and service to God ensures the highest culture of mind, soul, and body. And this consecration of all our powers to God prevents self-exaltation. The impartation of divine power honors our sincere striving after wisdom, for the conscientious use of our highest faculties to honor God and bless our fellow men. As these faculties are derived from God and not self-centered, they should be appreciated as talents from God to be employed in His service. And the last section here, which seems like it was evenly divvied out for us. Wow, that's something. Positive virtues promote health. Courage, hope, faith, sympathy, love promote health and prolong life. A contented mind, a cheerful spirit, is health to the body and strength to the soul. And this is so true from Proverbs 17:22, a merry or rejoicing heart doeth good like a medicine.